First of all, we're going to start talking to a judge from Portugal who has interesting stories to report.
We'll start with a short introductory video which shows who Judge Rui Fonseca e Castro is, what he did. He actually stood up against the police, reminding them of who is in command, i.e. not really the executive, and that he is has a higher rank than they have, and that impressed a lot of people. And we'll show you this video, and then we'll discuss this with the judge.
It's such a smooth, cool language. When did this happen, the video we just saw?
It happened on the 7th, November 7th, and September 7th this year, mm-hmm. last month, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was the day that I was my hearing before the Superior Council of Judiciary, mm-hmm. under the disciplinary process that is running against me.
Why did anyone decide to run a disciplinary process against you?
Because of two factors. First of all, I decided I have some decisions about one decision one main decision about masks in court. My understanding is that my legal understanding is that the defendant has the right to speak with his face uncovered, and for me to evaluate the proof, the defendant and witnesses also have to have the face uncovered. Otherwise, I cannot evaluate properly the proof, and I cannot do my job properly.
That is, by the way, precisely what our German Code of Civil Procedure, and I'm not so sure, but I think also the Code of Criminal Procedure states. You cannot have your face covered when you're in court. It's next to impossible to interview witnesses if they have their faces covered. You cannot see their emotions. It doesn't make any sense. So that is why they instigated disciplinary proceedings against you.
Yeah, that's what triggered my suspension from duty, mm-hmm. the preventive suspension from duty, and that was one of the reasons. The other reasons is my public opinions about the what so-called pandemic, mm-hmm. that I have put out sometimes, and I still do, and. Those are the two reasons for the disciplinary process against me.
Can I ask you, so are you the only judge in Portugal that speaks out, or are there others? And plus, how is the, you know, behind closed doors, what are your colleagues saying?
Yes, publicly, there is another one. So outspoken as me, as myself, but also as made some texts that put out for the public about the so-called pandemic. And there are many judges in Portugal that they have I would not say a complete clear overview of what is going on, but at least a more correct view from the legal perspective of what is going on, but they are not coming out to speak. So I think it's normal. There are many others otherwise that are completely kidnapped by the narrative, and they believe in the good faith of the government, which is completely false. I mean, the government is, we have in Portugal at least, we have a deeply corrupt government, so how they care about our public health if they are in the first place deeply corrupt and they only think about themselves. So,
yeah, that is the impression that we have gotten from our own government here, that they're completely under the control and or in cahoots with the other side, those who have worked on and planned for this pandemic for a very long time. It is, and this is based on facts, because we know for a fact that for many years, the other side, which we now call, in accordance with the words of Catherine Austin Fitz, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in the United States, she coined the phrase Mr. Global, and that includes all the global corporations and the global NGOs. All of them are being run by the very same people. And the most important platform on which they meet is the World Economic Forum with their annual gatherings in Davos. There's other platforms like Bilderbergers and others, but that seems to be the most important one. And that's why I have come to the conclusion, and I think so has Viviana, that just like you're saying about the Portuguese government, the same is true for ours. It's been kidnapped, but of course there are many members of parliament who are, who have fallen for the narrative and believe in this panic mode, and yeah. Now they cannot get out because they understand. Simultaneously, they realize something is not right, but at the same time, they have to understand that they are responsible because they participated in this. So that makes it extremely, extremely difficult. Do you think that the population understands better what's going on than the government?
Well, the Portuguese government understands very well what's going on. Mm-hmm. So they are their puppets doing the job in Portugal. And they are in Portugal, the system that they use to control the ones that are in key roles, in key positions, is through the Freemason secret society. It's not secret, but it's discreet. Is in Portugal is through that. Mm-hmm. So in the government they know very well what's going on, and in general politicians in Portugal they understood already. Some of them actually, ironically, they pulled some strings to be injected in the first before the right time for them. And that's very ironic, but that's those are a few of them. Most of them, they know very well what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the population is still deeply divided. But as in Portugal, as they tell, we have 85% of population injected. So I don't know. I think this number is not right. But we have a majority for sure of the population injected. Mm-hmm. So people are understanding more and more, unfortunately for many of them, too late, but are understanding what's going on because they see the consequence. They see the consequence from the injections that they are taken, they took, they see what is going on to the relatives, to themselves. And I think that is triggering awakening process. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that for many of them is going to be too late. And I hope that the ones that were not injected and they are under a huge pressure, a huge coercion to get injected. I hope they still have the strength to resist, because it's very important.
And can I ask you, like, for the employers, do they also put a lot of pressures on their employees? And plus here we have from, I think, October 11th on, the tests are not going to be for free anymore, but you have to pay for them. So, you know, say if you have like three kids studying at university, and then three times a week or so, they have to do a test. That's basically like, you know, like who can pay for this amount of money? So this puts people in a very unfortunate situation that they maybe have to get the jab, you know, even if they don't want it. Is the situation under these two aspects the same in Portugal?
In Portugal, they are not mentioning that idea of stopping of making people to pay for the test. Mm-hmm. But they are running massively tests on school on kids in schools, and most of the people here are injected, so it's not. I think the numbers, the figure, the vaccination rates. I don't like to call them that vaccination, but the vaccination rate in Germany, I think it's much lower than in Portugal. So in Portugal, there is no need for that. People are complying much more than in other countries, unfortunately. So they don't need anymore to use that type of scam. Mm-hmm.
All of us were really surprised, but in a very positive way, when towards the end of last year, I think it was in October or so, a Portuguese appellate court decided that, and I think this it had to do with four German tourists. One of them tested positive, and that's why all of them were quarantined. And then a Portuguese appellate court decided and sustained the trial court's decision that a PCR test, which everything is based on, cannot tell you anything about infections. The funny thing is, it's not funny, the tragic thing is that the government doesn't seem to care about this. And before the start of our session, we spoke about this. We spoke about the fact that there's another decision in Vienna, in Austria, and another one here in Germany. And I spoke with a professor from Portugal at that point, and he said, well, and I asked him, how come you in Portugal have managed to come out with such a decision while everyone else is still waiting? And he said, well, maybe it has to do with the fact that Portugal, like Spain, is one of the few European countries that still remembers what it's like to have a fascist government. Is that a fact, or is it that many people have in the meantime forgotten about that?
Well, I don't know if that's right, because in Portugal, people also have a very weird relation with the state, with the government. They still see it as a father figure that can punish, but also can reward. Mm-hmm. So it's ambivalent. So I don't know if that's right. But what in Portugal there is a legal measure that is the habeas corpus, that when you are unlawfully arrested or detained, you can request to a judge, to go before a judge and to say, look, please arrest me unlawfully, or a doctor in this case, a doctor order my arrest, my home arrest, my house, my home arrest, or in the hotel room, like it was the case of those German tourists in Azores. And they requested the habeas corpus, and the habeas corpus was approved. They were set free, and then the government appealed to the second court in Lisbon, and that decision is from the second circuit court, and so far there is no decision like that, because there are some the other decisions saying that you cannot be arrested in home arrest or in an hotel room or wherever because only the police says or because a doctor says, a doctor from the government says that's something that there are more decisions about that. What this decision was, this decision was unique because made an approach to the PCR test and was very clear saying that PCR test is not a way for diagnose anything, for diagnose a disease, for detecting an infection, even if mostly because you are not, if you are not checked by a doctor in person, you cannot, a PCR test is not enough to say that you are sick or that you are infected for whatever they want, because we know now that PCR tests, we knew that back then also that PCR tests they are not reliable and they produce a lot of false positives. And in that case, I think it was one of them. Most of them are like that, actually. Mm-hmm. The PCR test is one of the pillars for the so-called pandemic. Mm-hmm. Is how they control the pandemic is with PCR tests. Without that, they will not have any pandemic. We will not have a so-called pandemic.
Yes, that's what we believe too. After having spoken to so many experts, including the former vice president of Pfizer, including numerous professors of biology, epidemiology, et cetera, including even a Nobel Prize winner, Luc Montagnier from France, we've come to the very same conclusion that the PCR test cannot tell us anything about infections, and it's not even approved for diagnostic purposes. It's only approved for scientific purposes. And mass testing of healthy people, which only happens because the second big lie is that of asymptomatic infections, makes absolutely no sense. So it all looks very, very staged to us. We have, by the way, in our constitution, a very clear regulation in section 104 of our German basic law or constitution. And it says that you can only be jailed or lose your freedom of movement through a judge's decision. A doctor can't do it, and no one can do it except for a judge. However, there have been many instances in which people have been forced to quarantine, self-quarantine in their homes. And I assume that's the same in Portugal, is it?
Yeah, that's the same. We also have the Article 27 in the Constitution that says when someone can be arrested or detained. We have a case that someone can be put in a mental institution if it represents a danger for himself or for others.
Yeah,
but also
here.
that has to be controlled by just afterwards, before or afterwards. So there is no, for me, it would be unthinkable that this before, if someone would tell me that a doctor could do this, that what they are doing, they put healthy people on home arrest or the police without going through a judge, I would say no, that will be impossible. Not in Portugal, because we have a constitution that says otherwise. This cannot happen. But well, it was, I think the figures, I think it was on dozens of thousands of people on house arrest every day. Probably still today probably not so much because of the vaccination, but we had some a lot, not a lot, but quite a few cases of habeas corpus that they were approved. And when people go through to a judge to say, to tell, look, the police put me in house arrest, or the doctor from the government put me in house arrest, they approved the habeas corpus and they set the person free. So the courts are still, the judicial system is still working, not very well, is weak, but it's still working. And by the way, I wanted to mention that those judges from that court case that we were talking about just now, they were also threatened with a disciplinary process.
I was going to ask you that because we heard about that and we mentioned it to another judge, an active judge in Italy, and he said, well, we are going to have to alarm the Association of International Judges. And I think that's what he did. Are they still active as judges, or have they also been suspended?
No, they were not. There was not disciplinary processes against them, but they were threatened with that. Mm.
So who gave them this threat? Do you know that?
The Superior Council of the Judiciary met. They met, the council met, and one of the things to be decided in that meeting, it was if they were starting a disciplinary process against them. So it's public. That was that there was the chance that will happen.
It is very obvious that all of these measures, not only the ones that have been taken or threatened against the three, I think that was a three-judge panel, wasn't it? The appellate court?
Yeah.
It's very obvious that all of these measures that those judges have been threatened with and the ones that are being taken against you, plus the ones that were taken against that went beyond disciplinary measures. These are actual criminal measures that were taken against this German judge. It's very obvious that all of these measures are politically motivated. Here in this country, it was motivated by the Green Party's representatives in that area. Do you think that these measures? I'm absolutely sure that you're going to get out of this unscathed, and I'm also absolutely sure that the judge here in Germany, whom I happen to know, is going to get away and all the charges will have to be dropped against him, because there are no real charges. The ones that they have brought against this judge, which are absolutely laughable, considering that they were the basis for the search and seizure measures that were taken against him. The only charges were that he shouldn't have done it because it was not his field of law, so to speak, but rather an administrative court of law should have taken over, not him as a family court law. In the meantime, we have two or three decisions by appellate courts here in this country that have explicitly stated that in such cases, when a mother turns to a judge and tells him, listen, I have a problem because my children seem to be getting tortured at school, that it's of course he who has the power to make a ruling and not the administrative law courts. So I think the real intention of all these measures that are taken against you and this judge here in Weimar are to send a message to the remaining judiciary, to everyone else, and threaten them, to tell them, if you're not in line with the government, we're going to go after you. Do you agree with that?
I agree. That's one of the main goals of with disciplinary process. Mm. And with me, actually, they are going to decide on the next on the 7th this month that if they are going to fire me. So it's a clear message they are sending out to the judiciary, to all the judges, and also to the prosecutors, because the prosecutors are also, I think the prosecutors are even weaker than in the judiciary, because they are not independent. They are only, they have only autonomy. On somehow they are attached to the government through the Ministry of Justice. So it's even a more difficult case for them, because they are, I think lots of them are really afraid to do something against what's going on.
But in the general society, or like people that you talk to, I mean, is this like what we see here now, a little bit like in the GDR, you know, the former Eastern German, that people like outside you speak in a certain way, and then, you know, when you're at home with family and, you know, people talk a very different way, and out, you know, in the public realm, they are just trying to play along, and at home it's different. And do you see that also in Portugal, or are people pretty much under hypnosis and really believe what's going on?
I think there is a lot. There are a huge, a very good amount of people already that they are already from beginning there were people that they understood already what's going on, but that's growing more and more. And there is a huge part that it's not, I don't know if it is a huge part, it's an important part of the population that is also playing along, is adapting, is not, they still think that life is going back to normal if they play along for a bit, and that's fine. And they are just in doubt if they are going to get the injection or not, maybe to travel or to, they don't have the big picture, but they don't trust the government, and they are awakening slowly, but they are. But there is a huge part of population that, yes, is still playing along outside in the street. When I am outdoors, people come to talk to me, and they say, look, I am a public servant, I cannot do much, I cannot speak out, but I support you, I understand what's going on, and please go on with that, don't give up. A bigger part of population that is awakened, that is not speaking out, and we don't know, because they are still complying with everything, but just to play along.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people really have to. I mean, that's for everyone. So in Poland, I heard the fourth wave has now started. So you know, they're doing the same. It's the same. It's, you know, it's the same game over and over again. So for those of you who still believe that this is just that we're just seeing the end of the whole corona crisis, and you know, if there's like lifts of mask mandates or so in school, I mean, this is really just an intermezzo, I would say, and you should really be completely aware that come fall we're going to see the same game. So yeah. Really, I mean, get your act together.
The influenza season is coming as usual.
Yeah.
So the problem in Portugal is that we have a majority of the population vaccinated or injected, as I normally say. So they will have to be skilled to put that in the COVID narrative. So far they are saying that the influenza is coming much stronger than the years before, because people was confined, because people were confined because we didn't have influenza last year. Of course, we didn't have influenza last year because we had all COVID that was influenza, actually. Yeah. That's the reason that we didn't have influenza. So, or they are going to put that in the new strains, the Delta or whatever strains they are coming. But they'll have to find a good way out, because the majority of people is vaccinated. So why should they have COVID?
And with counting the, you know, the people who are COVID sick, we have this situation that everyone who's had their injection, like, you know, only after 2 weeks after the second injection, they're counted as vaccinated. So everyone who'd maybe fall ill after, you know, shortly after the first injection could still be is deemed to be unvaccinated, which means they could be like an unvaccinated COVID death person. You know, that's why we have all these the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Is that the same in Portugal?
Yeah, it's kind of the same. The what they consider as vaccinated actually is someone that is vaccinated only after 14 days after the vaccination, or 40 days after the vaccination, if you didn't get COVID, because if you get COVID afterwards, probably you are not vaccinated anymore.
That's precisely the same thing that's going on here.
Yeah.
And people, that is what is disturbing people, and that is what's making people really ask tough questions.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I think they... Look, most of the job is complete in Portugal. If they say that 85% of population is injected, most of job is complete. Mm. So they will keep with they are keeping with the mask mandate, and they're opening a bit. But we had elections some days ago, so it's normal that they were opening a bit. But we are getting in the, it's starting.
I think you're frozen right now.
No, it's better.
Okay, perfect. Yes.
I'm sorry. It's my phone. I am from the car because we are driving from Paris.
Okay.
So I am not sure what's going to happen. If we will have another lockdown, how are they going to build the narrative around the new lockdown? Mm. I'm curious about that. But the president already warned for the possibility of a new lockdown. What I think for sure is that this is not stopping. This is not stopping, and they want people not to have only one shot or two shots. They want people to have three, four, or whatever, enough shots for to shorten the life expectancy of the majority of the population. So that's what I think that the goal. Of course, we have the objective around this the certificate that is about controlling, and that is going to get also to be developed, because it's not going to stay only with these injections. Probably they will end to also use for other kinds of, they are talking about already about a flu and the COVID vaccine together. And the controlling is going to be more and more strict if people don't react to what's going on. It's we are also in a police state in Portugal, in my perspective. Mm-hmm. So that is going to get worse more and more if people don't react.
I agree with that, and I think we both agree on this, because from what we have heard, and this is really all based on evidence, this is all based on people's testimony, who I have no reason to believe are lying to us. All of them are renowned scientists, historians, doctors, scientists from practically every field, and plus, it's all out there in the open. You can read it. You can listen to what Bill Gates has said in the recent past. You can see what his father stood for, eugenics, and you can see what Klaus Schwab is promoting. Again, eugenics. So I agree with you. I was gonna say I don't want to push you, but obviously from the video I saw, no one's going to push you. But I do believe that we're not dealing with a corona pandemic, but rather with a PCR test pandemic, which is being used to cover up what they are really doing. And what they're really doing is they're working on population control, including population reduction, and the destruction of our economies, in particular our small and medium sized corporations, so that their market share can be taken over by American platforms. Our German car industry seems to be taken over by the Chinese. There's still a lot of fog out there, but it is very obvious to us that this is this agenda, this COVID narrative, is a complete hoax, and it's being used to divert our attention away from what is really going on. And those are the facts that I just mentioned. I understand that you get your information not just from the mainstream media, but from other sources. So have you come to the same conclusion?
Yes, it's the same. Well, I don't watch TV for some years.
Yeah.
For 7 years or something, so I think that helped me. In the beginning, I still believe in the pandemic because I was never into conspiracy theories or something like that. So in the beginning, I believed that there was a pandemic, but that then people were not dying. That was the trigger for me to start questioning if people are not dying. Probably we don't have that pandemic. Why are they pushing this into the population? So actually I wanted to mention something that in Portugal I found out that the Portuguese government is faking the numbers for the general mortality. Uh-huh. So they are putting numbers afterwards every day. So otherwise we will not have a deadly pandemic, because in 2020, 2021, there will not be increase of general mortality. So they are faking the numbers, and that they are dishonest, that they are liars, and they are extremely, extremely corrupt. And of course, they are puppets. Mm-hmm.
But right now, I mean, when you say you have a lot of people telling that there is, you know, that the vaccination damages and that there are maybe people dying after vaccination. So I think there should be like some sort of increase in the, you know, the death rate. Do you see that, or is that also fumbled
with? Yes, I'm right now the death rate. Right now, I mean, after summer, is starting to be. Bigger than last year.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't know. But again, I don't know if those numbers are right, because I found out that government is cheating on that level. It's faking those numbers. So I don't know if the numbers that we are getting from the official website are right. What I know, because people are coming to me and they are telling me on local towns that there are lots of people dying, very normal, a very odd mortality, very high, and that's something that I am starting also to investigate, but that's to be locally.
Yeah, we're getting these reports as well from doctors through our whistleblower tool. We're getting all of these reports from doctors and nurses, people who work in the hospitals. We're going to have another guest on our session tonight, who is an undertaker from England, from Great Britain. And he says it's very, very disturbing. And this is also what we're hearing from all these other experts from the healthcare industry. It's very disturbing to see how many people are dying. We can't prove causation yet, but there's clear evidence that these people are dying in close in close proximity of the date of their so-called vaccinations. Yeah. And they're trying to cover this up by, one, not counting anyone as vaccinated who got the shots within the last 14 days, just like in Portugal. Yeah. And the other thing that we just learned is that they're also manipulating the figures of those who they claim they don't know the status of vaccination of. Many of them are over 60. Now, in this country, I believe 80% of the over 60 are vaccinated. However, half of the numbers that have been reported with adverse reactions concern people who they now claim their vaccination status is unclear. But those are all people who are over 60. So if the narrative is true that 80% of them have been vaccinated, then they shouldn't have been excluded from this. If you put them back into the count, the numbers of people with adverse reactions after vaccination would go, would spike. It would be incredible. And that is probably why they're doctoring the numbers, why they're trying to make us believe that it's far less serious than it really is, because that is the one thing that cannot be swept under the rug. All of the people who are dying after vaccination or suffering other adverse effects. And that is what's making people nervous in Portugal as well, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. And I think there is, they're also starting people to understand it, it's a slower process because it's not so immediate that it's for women, it's starting to get harder to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And that started, that's starting to be noticed also.
That's very interesting. I mean, if you have any information like on all these, you know, if you have doctors and pathologists and others, you know, they should really, that you maybe know or like come across later, they should really get in touch with us. On September 20th, we had this large conference, pathology conference. You can find it under pathologieconference.de. We'll post it also in the chat and we can send you the link. There's, we have it translated also in other languages. I think Italian is on, Spanish, English. We can also add a Portuguese version, you know, and then you can see. So we had two really experienced professors for pathology. They looked at, I think it was 10 dead people. And in seven of the cases, they said it's likely or very likely that it's connected to having received the vaccination. And it's really, it's like myocarditis, it's like thrombosis and all kinds of like, also like some sort of lymphocyte storm event, like an autoimmune reaction that went on. And after that, we received a lot of emails also from, for instance, like a radiologist, and he sent pictures, and it was very strange, you know, like it seems that the lymph nodes are like all of a sudden they're gigantically big and they looked as if they'd exploded. He had no explanation for that. And so we really have to, you know, we're in touch with a lot of, or the team is in touch with a lot of doctors also from abroad. It would be great to join forces also with people from Portugal who have made the same experience.
Yeah, that would be amazing. We are trying to get those reports and to search on that research and to investigate. So yes, we will give you all the information that we managed to get from Portugal. And
you founded your own movement, right? I think it's it's called, what is it called?
Habeas Corpus.
Okay.
Habeas. Yeah.
And is it, we have a group of judges and prosecutors who have now, well, they haven't really come out into the open. Some of their members have, but they have their own website called Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, and it's short for Critical Judges and Prosecutors. So there is something going on behind the scenes. I can understand why many of them don't want to come out. One of them, I think, did come out in an interview. And he didn't, he says, when he started the interview, he didn't exactly say that he's a judge, but he is a judge, because he wants to avoid, as much as he can, of course, he wants to avoid trouble, because if you want to change something, it's easier to do it from within the system than from outside of it, unless you don't have a choice anymore. So what I would really like to do is put you in touch with this group, and so that your group of judges and prosecutors and lawyers maybe are part of a bigger group. Of course, we're all going to have to work on our individual countries, but I think it makes sense. It's really important, I believe, for all of us to join forces.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would be very happy to be useful for to be part of that. It would be amazing. I'm available.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Is there anything that we may have left out? Is there any important piece of information that should be mentioned still?
Yes. I wanted to also, I don't know if you are aware of this. I started in Portugal a criminal lawsuit against the government and everybody involved with the vaccination program. For crimes against humanity, I can also send you the case, and it's very recent. I followed it on the 25th of last month. So it's starting now. It's a work in progress, because we have to add. I have to add a lot also. Keep adding means of proof and more facts, and but it's starting now.
Okay,
Portugal.
So this is definitely, yeah, please do send us the complaint that you filed, and it makes even more sense now that we join forces, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, because much of the evidence that is coming out in your country or in our country or in the United States is probably applicable in all of our countries, because the facts are always the same. This is a lockstep approach. So if we, and there will be more cases that we're going to be winning, and more important cases as well. The more cases we get, the easier it will be to eventually wrap everything up in maybe a big international corona tribunal like Nuremberg 2.0 or something like that. But it has, I think this is way too big for any of our individual judicial systems to deal with it.
Yeah. So yes. No doubt about that. It's very important to join forces. And actually, just by out of curiosity, I was living in Nuremberg for 5 years.
Wow!
Until very recently, my wife is German, so I was living there.
Did you visit the famous room 600 where the Nuremberg trial took?
I was not in the room, but I was in the court building, because I went there and I took some pictures.
I did too. I was surprised how small it is. It looks so much bigger on television, but it was small. But that's where history played out, and it seems like we haven't learned from history, not yet.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah, not yet. Hopefully, we will.
We will. I'm sure we will. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. This was a real honor, and it's a pleasure to talk to someone who really knows what he's talking about.
It was my honor, and thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it. And I would be very happy to keep in touch and to be helpful within my reach. And I'm available for what you need from me.
Very good. We will definitely take you up on this offer. Thank you so much, and have a very safe trip.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.